Hey people, are you in the market for a very cool and original pair of sunglasses? Well, today's episode is being sponsored by Retrospects at the Cosmopolitan Hotel of Las Vegas. At Retrospects, their clients will find something unique and precious, registered historic eyewear, fabricated and restored by exacting old-world standards. I've been wearing sunglasses from Retrospects for almost 5 years now, and I really wouldn't wear anything else. I mean, everything they carry is original, cool, stylish, extremely well made. Don't get fooled. A lot of people think that vintage is a lot more expensive than going into a modern day shop and buying a brand name, but it's really not. At Retrospects, you can find something really cool, military frame from the 70s for $345 with really cool lenses. You can email Retrospects at lasvegas@retrospects.com to get 10% off your first purchase, not to be combined with any other offer. You can also visit their website at www.retrospects.com. They do prescription. They do restoration. They have modern day interpretations of the original stuff. They have the original stuff. So definitely go to Retrospects. Okay, on with the show. In today's episode, I talk about the 2015 Basel World Fair. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? It's Amit Dave Honda, and welcome to the show. Today I want to speak to you about what came out at the 2015 Basel Fair in Basel, Switzerland, almost 2 weeks ago. The Basel Fair took place between March 19th and March 26th, and this is the biggest watch fair in the world. This is where, you know, the top three brands in the world, arguably Rolex, Patek Philippe, and Tag Heuer, and many, many, many more important brands release, you know, their novelties for the year. So let's get started. As far as Rolex goes, I was hoping for a lot more from Rolex, but that's just me. I have very high expectations. They always do something that impresses me, even though it may not be a model that I like. They may do something innovative. They may do something design-wise. They may do something movement-wise. They may do something that is completely off the beaten path of what we think is going to come out, and they kind of did. I mean, there were a lot of predictions that a new Daytona and steel would come out, that a new GMT and with a black and red bezel and ceramic would come out, that a Daytona and Everrose with a ceramic bezel would come out, and that root beer bezel ceramic GMT would come out in steel and gold. Rolex didn't do any of those things. What they did do was they came out with a Yachtmaster in Everrose in two different sizes, 37 millimeter and 40 millimeter. And it's the first time they've ever done an Everrose Yachtmaster. And with this black ceramic bezel, maxi dial, really good looking watch. I mean, personally, not something I would wear, but, you know, that's just me. I know a lot of collectors loved it. It was extremely well received in the watch world amongst journalists, just all over the place. People went nuts for it. It was also the first time that Rolex ever introduced a rubber type strap known as the Oyster Flex bracelet, which is basically, as far as the form of it goes, it's a cross between a bracelet and a rubber strap. It's their own proprietary sort of blend of how they did it. But this totally bridges the gap, like, between a sports watch and an elegant watch in a very sophisticated way. I'm very excited for Rolex wearers to get this. It's definitely due, and I think any sports watch from this point forward, I'm sure that Rolex in the future will adapt some sort of Oyster Flex bracelet that will be available. They haven't yet. They haven't released it. They haven't announced it. But I'm sure now with, you know, the advent of this new Oyster Flex bracelet, it will be available for the other Rolex professional sports models, hopefully including the GMT, the Submariner, the Deep Sea, the Explorer 2. You know, any of those, you know, that would be amazing. So that was exciting. Rolex also introduced for Basel World 2015 a 40 millimeter day date, often referred to by people as the presidential. The Day-Date is the official name. Traditionally, the Day-Date's always been 36 millimeters in size. A couple of years back, they introduced the Day-Date 2, which is 41 millimeters. The Day-Date is for those people who want a 40 millimeter watch. They may not want the extra millimeter in size. It's available in yellow gold, Everrose gold, platinum. I believe it's available in white gold. But yeah, this came out, new dial options, really nice looking watch. So now there's really something out there for everyone as far as Day-Dates go. A model that kind of may have flown under the radar for some, but not for people within probably the watch industry or within the watch journalism sort of industry, the new 39 millimeter Oyster Perpetual in steel. This is a great value watch. I mean, I think anyone who wants a Rolex and doesn't want to be, you know, can't really pay over $6,000, this is perfect. It's $5,700. New dial options are available. A nice new gray dial option is available. It's really nice looking. Rolex's Oyster Perpetual, this is the fifth configuration or the fifth version of an Oyster Perpetual that Rolex has introduced into the market. 39 millimeters is a great size. Typically speaking, the Oyster Perpetuals, or they often referred to before as the Air King, without the date. In past years, they were never chronometer certified. And chronometer certification is great. That's a certification where the watch is tested for 15 days and 15 nights and six different positions in various weather conditions. So it has that testing. It doesn't have the date. It's really clean. It's stainless steel. It's on an Oyster bracelet. It comes on a dome bezel, and it's just really, really cool. You can get into the Rolex family for under $6,000, and it's a sizable watch, and you have different color options for the dial. So that's a great option as well. They do some upgrades and changes to the movements of some of their watches, and they did do some pretty cool things with ladies' watches. But, you know, what really impressed me, I think the darling of the Basel Fair for 2015, I have to say, is Tudor. It's the first time Tudor released their own in-house movement, and this movement is an awesome movement. I already did a podcast on what Tudor released at Baselworld 2015. They released three watches, two very significant watches, one being the new North Flag. This is the first watch they made with their own in-house movement. Beautiful-looking watch, sort of that very Gerald Genta octagonal sort of case. Royal Oak looking case, just really good looking. They did a new Pelagos in blue. Pelagos, their diver's watch, their version of Submariner. First time they did a blue dial with an in-house movement. And the best part is that they are now, I think without a shadow of a doubt, the best pure valued watch in the entire watch industry, because they were able to maintain the $3,000 to $5,000 price range with their own in-house manufactured caliber movement. They also did a new Fast Rider chronograph. The Fast Rider is their sports watch. They're sort of, they've worked with Ducati since 2011. This watch is influenced by the Ducati Scrambler motorcycle. It has that very motorcycle feel. Chronograph. I don't believe it uses the in-house movement. New dial options that are available come in green, red, and yellow. And it's a beautiful looking watch. Chronograph, just really sporty, really cool, really elegant, but, you know, really like a modern day masculine sports watch. So I'm really, really happy for Tudor. And once again, I applaud the entire Tudor family worldwide for having such a great 2015 Baselworld, and this is a great indication of what I think, you know, Tudor is going to be releasing from this point forward. Many, many exciting years to come from them. A brand that I normally don't really like to talk about, just because I'll talk about them. I think they're probably one of the best brands in the world. Patek Philippe, of course, arguably the best for some. For me, you know, I kind of feel like they've always made old men's watches, you know. There's something to be said. There's a fine line between being clean and understated and just being really boring and sort of old man-ish, and I feel like a lot of the styles that Patek Philippe has made in the past has been pretty old man-ish and boring. But hey, there's some diehard Patek Philippe. It is one of the most diehard collectors in the world. And this year they made two really outstanding pieces. One being a 42 millimeter watch in white gold. It's a Calatrava case. It has a very unique blue dial. It's like their pilot's watch with the home time and local time. And it's a GMT, and it's really masculine. And it's for that modern day Patek Philippe wear. Comes on a brown strap, buffalo type looking strap. Just very, very, very outside of the box for Patek Philippe. It's not something you would typically see. They're known for making the very refined, elegant dress watch, and I'm glad that they sort of, on this, stepped aside from that and made something more masculine, more forward-thinking, more modern. And I think it's going to appeal to not just their current clientele, but a new clientele of Patek Philippe wearing customers. The second watch is, their white gold split seconds chronograph, which is being hailed as one of the best watches that Patek Philippe has done in years. And I have to agree. I mean, it's probably the perfect split seconds chronograph. It's very well balanced. The case is made out of platinum. It's 41 millimeters in size. It comes on a black crocodile strap. It's very unique, actually. Underneath the 6 o'clock marker, it says email, which stands for enamel. The dial is made out of enamel, which denotes it as a specialty piece. The subdials at the 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock are great. You've got the split seconds push button at the crown, and you've got two buttons for the chronograph. I mean, it's just a really, really good looking watch, and it's really clean. And the movement is probably one of the best chronograph movements in the world. It's of course in house, and I think we're going to probably, if we're lucky in the U.S., see maybe two of these for 2015, for the whole year, for that's everything. It's going to be extremely limited. So Patek Philippe had a great year, which was nice. It was kind of like a something I didn't expect to even, you know, really write about or even talk about on a podcast. So I'm excited for Patek Philippe and their customers, and I think that if you have the chance, definitely look at these. And I will drop the links to the articles I've written on these watches. One of the brands that I love the most, which I don't think really gets enough credit, is Zenith. I mean, I think they make one of the best chronograph movements for the money. They made two watches specifically in steel that I like. This was really, I think, the year of the chronograph for a lot of people. I'm not normally a chronograph fan. I mean, for me, chronograph, it's like throw pillows. They're nice to look at, but they really serve no function for me. I mean, let's face it, I'm probably only going to boil pasta, and then if I need a chronograph to do that, I've got serious problems, because, you know, water is going to boil when water is going to boil. But I don't really time anything. I don't really have the need. And most people, they don't really time things. They don't. Most people aren't, you know, marathon runners or sprinters or do rigorous sports that require that. So yeah, once in a while you may use a chronograph, but you know what? You've got a timer on your phone. I think sometimes when you get too complicated, it takes away from the whole purpose of telling time. And I think chronographs are purely a visual thing. And a lot of people like to play with chronographs. It's something to play with. They're gadgets. In any event, Zenith released the El Primero chronograph for Basel World 2015 in steel. Very clean, double indices, incredible hands, silver dial. It's modern, it's classic. It has, you know, it nods to vintage. 42 millimeters in case size. The El Primero chronograph, one of the most robust chronograph movements in the world. Comes on a black crocodile strap. Just really good looking. Love it. Incredible. The second watch that Zenith released at Basel World 2015 is known as the Elite 6150. The Elite 6150 is a brand new manufactured movement. It's their Elite movement. Originally, the Elite movement came out in 1994. This one movement of the year, it's Zenith's slimmest movement. The nice thing is they were able to keep this movement at 4 millimeters and ensure that, you know, the case is 10 millimeters in thickness, which is really thin for them. The case is 42 millimeters in size. It's made out of polished steel. It has, you know, really nice faceted hour markers and hands. They're actually double indices. It's very clean. It's like something out of the 30s. It's very minimalist. I love that there's only the Zenith Star logo with the Zenith writing underneath. It's just one of those watches that's very refined and elegant. It's a modern day watch, but done in a sort of vintage way, and it's executed flawlessly. And I think, I don't know how much this watch will be, but I think for the money, it's probably going to be a great value. The chronograph is under $9,000, so I'm sure this will be right around the, you know, $5,000 to $6,000 range. But we'll have to wait and see what Zenith does. The next watch that I absolutely love is what Glashütte did. Glashütte Original. Glashütte Original being owned by the Swatch Group. It's a German brand. It's probably one of my favorite brands out there. Another brand I don't think that gets nearly as much respect as it deserves. You know, everything they make is in-house. They make their own dials. They make their own hands. They make their own cases. They make everything. So they make their own pins. They make their own screws. They released two watches at Baselworld 2015. One is the Senator Cosmopolite. The other one is the Senator Observer. The Glashütte Senator Cosmopolite is their travel watch. It's like the perfect travel watch. It's very cool and complicated, and it's available in 18-karat red gold and 18-karat white gold. The functions of this watch include hours, minutes, home time with hour and minute off-center, second time zone with hour and minute central, 37 time zones including half hour and three quarters of an hour differences, daylight savings time, standard time, small seconds, off-center, second stop, panorama date, day-night indicator for home time, day-night display for second time zone, and power reserve display. Considering all these functions, Glashütte Original had to consider the case and the thickness, so they made this a 44 millimeter case, which I think is very substantial and very practical. It's very German. That way nothing sort of gets cuts off and everything is displayed properly. I like how clean it is for something that's so complicated. And the fact that Glashütte Original is such a watchmaker's watch, the average person would never know what this watch is or what it does, and I think it's like the perfect travel watch. The second watch that Glashütte Original made for Baselworld 2015 is called the Observer. The Observer is sort of much more of a clean watch. It's much more of a practical, you know, time watch. It's got a hours, minutes, sub-seconds, and it also has a 55-hour power reserve. It comes in a 44-millimeter case. It's available with a black dial, gray dial, and silver dial. The black and gray dial have the hands are going to be, you know, more of a white gold, while the silver dial has blue hands. This watch is great. I love it. I love how clean it is. It has 10 numbers. The 9 and the 3 are replaced with the sub-dials for the power reserve and the sub-seconds hand. It's just a very clean and understated watch. It's a sizable watch. I think it's elegant. I think it can be worn in any situation. The black dial comes in calf, where the gray dial and the silver dial are available on black calf and black crocodile. And all three versions come on a stainless steel bracelet. But yeah, these two watches from Glashütte Original, I think really sort of reinvigorated the brand. I think it got a lot of attention this year, and I'm hoping for many, many more great years to come from Glashütte Original. The last brand that I'm going to talk about very quickly is Omega. Omega released, you know, in the last couple of years, they've done the Dark Side of the Moon watch, the Gray Side of the Moon watch. They this year did the White Side of the Moon watch, and they did the Black on Black Side of the Moon watch. You know, the White Side of the Moon watch, when I first saw it, I was kind of like, eh, it looks like a very ladies watch, white ceramic dial, you know, great contrast, but the more and more I looked at it, I realized that this watch is actually pretty cool. It looks like something grown in a NASA lab. It's just a very, very cool, mysterious-looking watch. It has their own in-house coaxial escapement movement. It's available on a white strap as well. I like the fact that, you know, the writing is in red. It really breaks up It makes it more contrastic, and it makes it, I think, more of a, I don't know if utilitarian is the right word, but it definitely makes it a watch that you haven't seen before, but it can be worn in any situation. Ceramic is a very tough metal, but it's a nice option, you know. And the black on black side of the moon, from what I've seen, you know, with black dial, sort of murdered out dial, if you will, it's sort of hard to read. The indices are blackened out. The dial is black. The case is black. It's nice, but it's a little bit too black. It's too sort of hard to read. There's not enough contrast. I understand what they're trying to do, but all in all, I think it was, as much as I've heard, it wasn't the most well-attended Baselworld by retailers and journalists. It was definitely an impactful Baselworld. I think there's many, many more great years to come. I think a lot of brands don't necessarily show everything at Baselworld. They show a majority. And I think there's probably a few pieces that we may or may not see from, you know, brands that exhibited there. But all in all, I was happy. I mean, there's a lot more brands I could talk about, but these are the brands to me that kind of stood out, you know, and that's arguable. A lot of people love the new stuff from Tag. A lot of people love the new stuff from Hublot. Of course, Nomos Glass Tooth have made some amazing stuff, and I'll probably do a separate podcast on that because that's a brand I love and I'm really interested in. But yeah, overall, I think it was a good Baselworld 2015. Again, the highlight being the Tudor for me was, more than anything, was remarkable. Again, making a watch, staying in the $3,000 to $5,000 price range, and having their own in-house movement, it just blew me away. So look out for the articles attached to this podcast for the various watches that I mentioned. There you have it, folks. Those were my thoughts on the 2015 Baselworld Watch Fair. I would like to thank my sponsor, Retrospects of the Cosmopolitan Hotel of Las Vegas. There's nothing to think about. If you want the coolest pair of sunglasses, contact them at LasVegas@retrospects.com to get 10% off your first purchase by mentioning this podcast, not to be combined with any other offer. You can also check out their website at www.retrospects.com. I would also like to thank DJ Flipside and Shalvoy Music for providing the musical tracks to this podcast. If you want to know what's going on with me and the watch industry, you can check out my website at www.amitdevhonda.com. You can email me with questions at amitdevhonda@gmail.com. Please check out my Instagram feed, where you can see some really cool and significant pictures on some amazing watches and what I'm up to, where I'm at, anywhere in the world. You can also follow me on Twitter at @AmitDevHonda. You can check out my Facebook watch page, and please don't forget to like it. That's got the latest news there. If you're a frequent Facebook user, it's a great place to go. Also, if you don't have time to commit to my blog on a daily basis, please sign up for my weekly newsletter. It's a one-and-done process. Sign up for my newsletter once and you're done, and get the latest watch news delivered to you every week, and it's packed with useful information. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.